Hello, I'm Kenny Walter, editor of ACP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. This year, more than any other year, it will be important for people to get vaccinated against influenza. While the flu vaccine protects millions from negative outcomes annually, it has become critical due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. While the flu vaccine is currently available, many might be trepidatious about actually getting the vaccine. With no approved COVID-19 vaccine available and cases and hospitalizations increasing across the country, it is even more important for individuals to protect themselves against influenza. However, there are signs that this flu season might not be as bad as some of the past seasons. With many wearing masks, promoting social distancing measures, working from home, and avoiding large gatherings, it is hypothetically possible for a decrease in the amount of influenza cases. Recent data from the Southern Hemisphere supports this, with a below average spread of the flu in that part of the world. Today, I'm joined by Dr. William Schaffner, talk about the importance of the flu vaccine and what he expects this upcoming winter. Dr. Schaffner is a professor of preventative medicine in the Department of Health Policy, as well as a professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Dr. Schaffner and I talked about some of the popular over-the-counter flu treatments, what this winter might look like in regard to the dueling viruses, and why it is important for individuals to get vaccinated.
I guess the overarching theme of this upcoming year in regard to the flu is how much concern is there that this on top of COVID is going to compound to be just a major problem for healthcare providers?
Well, we're certainly concerned as the end of the fall approaches and the beginning of winter that we'll be dealing with a twindemic, both COVID, which we anticipate will increase because people are going inside when it's colder, spending more time close to each other, along with our old friend, or I should say enemy, influenza, coming in at the same time. Both are respiratory viruses, both are spread in entirely similar ways, and even more confusing, they look like each other when they make you sick. So both patients and healthcare providers will be doing a lot of head scratching. Do I have COVID? Do I have flu? Do I have another respiratory virus? Maybe just a common cold. So we anticipate a lot of strain on the healthcare system this coming winter. And so that's why we're urging everyone to do the two important things. One is all that social distancing and mask wearing, et cetera, that we're doing for COVID. That'll help prevent influenza also, for sure. And of course, now is the time to get your influenza vaccine. And everyone older than 6 months, that's the simple recommendation, should get vaccinated against flu.
Okay. Now, I guess my layman logic would be, do you think less people actually will get the flu this year just because we're taking, at least a large portion of the population is going to be taking social distancing and mask wearing and work from home more and less crowds? They're taking so much more measures where people wouldn't take that measure in the past because of the flu.
Well, of course, some people are doing that.
Yes.
And it depends on where you are, whether it's most people or almost nobody. In rural areas of Tennessee, you don't see people wearing masks. It's not the same as here in Nashville. So the short answer is yes. We certainly anticipate that among people who wear the masks, do the social distancing, kind of stay more at home, don't go to the large groups, those people will have a measure of protection against influenza along with COVID. That seems really pretty clear.
Okay. Now, I guess when COVID hit most of the country last year, the flu season was either ending or at the very, very end. This year, obviously, it's going to be something different. For patients who may contract both viruses, what is the likelihood of that, and how negative will the outcome likely be if that happens for somebody?
That's a favorite question. There have been a handful of cases reported of simultaneous influenza and COVID infection. Of course, those are the patients who are in the hospital who get all the tests, right? So the handful of cases are kind of skewed toward the more severe illness, which is what we would probably expect. But we can't tell you how frequent this is going to be or whether it really does predispose you to more severe infections. We'll find that out going forward. But it's not something I would look forward to personally, and that's why I've gotten my flu shot.
Okay. And now a big thing with COVID is the asymptomatical spread, which is something that maybe we don't quite understand the exact extent of it and exactly how it happens. With the flu, is there any asymptomatic spread?
There's thought to be some asymptomatic spread with influenza, and we can think of it more as pre-symptomatic.
Okay.
So that after you get exposed to the flu virus, it can take you anywhere from 2 to 4 days to become sick. But on the day before you're sick, when you have no symptoms, you're already shedding the virus. And it's thought that this pre-symptomatic transmission of the virus is how a lot of influenza is spread. We have the average person has experience with the common cold. They come down with a cold, and so frequently they scratch their head and they say, "I wasn't around anybody with a cold. Where did I achoo? Where did I get this virus?" Well, you were around someone the day before they became sick. When they became sick, you didn't see them. They're long gone. But you got the virus from them before that person became sick. If you think about it from the point of view of the virus, that's a very efficient way to be transmitted in a population. Because when people tend to get sick, they stay more to themselves. They use Kleenex, right? Tissues. When they cough and sneeze, they may even take a day off from work or school. So the virus doesn't have the same chance to be transmitted to others. And the virus's job, if we can think of it that way, its only job is to get transmitted to somebody else so that it can perpetuate itself. So it's much more efficient for the virus to be transmitted by someone who does not have symptoms.
Okay. Now, kind of building off what you were just saying, a lot of people think if I'm sick, I stay home. If I'm not sick, I could go about my normal day. But with COVID being as much as 40% asymptomatic, and like you just said about the flu with pre-symptomatic, is that not really a viable policy? Obviously, you want people to stay home if they're sick, but that doesn't really cut into the rates that much.
Well, we think it does,
Okay.
because once you become sick for that day and the next day, that's the peak of your virus shedding
Okay.
if you're an adult. And so every little bit helps, right?
Yep.
And so people staying home when they're sick is absolutely recommended. We've all been in the other circumstance where we have been next to somebody was sick, and then we came down with it ourselves 48 hours later and said, "I know I got it from Charlie," because he was coughing and sneezing, and I was right next to him for an hour.
Okay. And now, monoclonal antibodies and some at-home flu therapies like Theraflu, they're becoming more popular and more widely used to limit household spread. What are your thoughts on both these drug classes and if they're really making a big impact?
Well, we're talking about two very different things. The over-the-counter anti-flu preparations may be good for some relief of symptoms, but they're genuinely not anti-flu. They're
Okay.
not an antiviral. For that, you have to get a prescription and get a drug such as Tamiflu. And if you take Tamiflu and you take it early, it clearly can reduce the duration and the severity of your influenza, and you're much less likely, after you've been taking it for a day or so, for you to be able to transmit the virus. You become less contagious also. I think you mentioned monoclonal antibodies.
Yes.
Those have been used for now in an experimental clinical trial for the treatment of COVID. And as you know, the president received that on a compassionate use basis, but those clinical trials are currently underway. Of course, everyone has high hopes, myself included, but we'll only know whether they work and how well they work after the trials are over. So we have to wait for that information.
Okay. And I guess this year more than past years, the messaging and the interest in the flu vaccine has increased because of COVID. Are you optimistic that we're improving the adherence to the flu vaccine, and we're just gonna, because even younger people probably see the importance of it now, where they probably viewed the flu as a sickness for a couple of days, that moving forward, we're going to have higher and higher rates of vaccination each fall.
Yeah, well, Kenny, I'm a cautious optimist. I would like to be optimistic. It's my nature. So I have high hopes that the messaging we're doing, getting a flu shot this year is more important than it ever has been, will have some positive effect. I do believe if it does have an impact, it's likely to have more of an effect on adults, older adults, people with underlying illnesses. I think younger people really you have to grab them by the ear and bring them in to get vaccinated. Of course, one of the great younger people who have contact with the aunt who has diabetes or their grandparents who are older, they don't want to bring flu or COVID into their houses and make those people sick. So that may motivate some of them to actually get vaccinated. And let's say quickly, we have to be transparent about this. Flu vaccine is a good but not perfect vaccine. And I'll make a couple of quick comments. Of course, it's not perfect. So there are some people who get the vaccine and then still a month later or whenever get genuine influenza and they get grumpy. They shouldn't be, because their illness was undoubtedly less severe. They were less likely to need medical care, be hospitalized, have to be in an intensive care unit, and they're less likely to have died of the infection. And as I like to say, hello, what's wrong with that? So, although it's not perfect, we should have in our ears the admonition of that old French philosopher Voltaire, who admonished us. He said, "Waiting for perfection is the great enemy of the current good." We can do a lot of good right now, currently, with our pretty good flu vaccine. It's the best that science can produce this year. Let's take advantage of it.
Do you think the creation of the 2020 flu vaccine will be more challenging because there's this kind of adjacent virus that is plaguing everything? So it might be harder to kind of get the predictive forces on what strain of influenza might be the more predominant one.
First of all, that's a very sophisticated question. And I think the answer is resoundingly no problem. The two are quite separate. And the vaccine was actually decided upon, the composition of the vaccine, which changes every year. The composition of the vaccine was decided last February.
Okay.
And so the manufacturers have made that flu vaccine, and their manufacturing facilities are completely different than the manufacturing facilities that are currently making COVID vaccine. So they're really quite separate. The flu vaccine will not protect you against COVID, but it will protect you against influenza.
And I think more people are communicating, especially with telemedicine being as important as it is right now, more people are asking questions of their doctors, more people are talking to their doctor and kind of trying to be regular with their appointments. Do you think, what is the role of practitioners and doctors in kind of promoting the flu vaccine and explaining the importance of getting that vaccine this year as COVID is bearing down on us?
Well, all the providers, whether you're a doctor, physician's assistant, nurse practitioner, pharmacist, all have a role in persuading people to accept the flu vaccine and get vaccinated. Study after study tells us the single most important determinant of whether you get influenza vaccine is the intensity of the recommendation by your trusted healthcare provider. But now, Kenny, you bring up another interesting issue. A lot of us have been getting our medical care via telemedicine.
Yep.
Through our computers, and people are a little antsy about going into the hospital because they might pick up the COVID while they go there. So people are going to have to be persuaded to actually come in and roll up their sleeves. You know, I haven't figured out how to give immunizations through the computer yet. You have to show up. And making it quick and easy, every provider should make it quick and easy for their patients to come in, get their flu vaccine, and out absolutely as quickly as possible and safely. And I think we need to persuade our patients that that can be done. Certainly my wife, with her physician's blessing, gets it at a pharmacy, and she's clever. She gets up a little bit early and goes in there to the pharmacy before the pharmacist gets busy. And she's in and out, and she said she timed it, 6 minutes. So bing, bing.
Yep.
And what could be better than that?
Yep, I know you could go to CVS and Walgreens and get them. And I believe a lot of companies and offices are doing, like, at-work flu shots.
Exactly. And actually, there's a twist there also, because many of us are working at home. So we're not at the workplace where we normally get our flu vaccine. So there'll have to be a lot more individual motivation. I have to get out of my pajamas and actually go to the doctor or to the pharmacist or clinic or wherever to get the flu vaccine, because I'm not in my office and I can quickly line up to get the flu shot when it's our turn. So there's pluses and minuses, but clearly we're having to try to motivate many more people to take advantage of influenza vaccine this season. We would hope to have an influenza season that is as low as what they had in the southern hemisphere during our summer, their winter, of course, and they had a very low influenza virus season. They used a lot of vaccine, and they did a lot of social distancing. Not in every country, but by and large, they had a very modest flu season. And we all wish that for ourselves. Let's help by getting vaccinated.
Do you? Is there any evidence that the strain was either less severe or less contagious? Or are you attributing the Southern Hemisphere numbers more towards vaccinations, masks, and social distancing?
Well, my colleagues in the Southern Hemisphere really emphasize both the use of the vaccine and the social distancing and masks. But we all recognize that flu is fickle. Sometimes we have really bad years, and other times we have moderate and even occasionally a very mild year. So could this just be luck? We don't know. The viruses that were around, not very many, were pretty much the same as the year before. So the viruses themselves didn't appear to be a lot different.
Interesting. And I guess my final question then is, it seems like we might be at a infliction point in terms of people being anti-vaccine for any vaccine, but especially the flu vaccine. In your experience, is this the worst that it's been in terms of people not trusting vaccines and just the rapid pace of disinformation? How damaging do you think that is if we don't really get a handle on this and get more people to believe in the vaccines?
Well, we are in the information slash disinformation
Yes.
era. There's no doubt about it, and it's had an effect on vaccines. And if I'm going to be candid with you, we have to acknowledge that the politicization of the COVID vaccine has made a lot of people antsy, and there may be spillover and caution regarding influenza
Yes.
vaccine also. We're just trying to overcome that, obviously, by just getting good information out to people, along with reassurance and persuasion.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to say about the flu vaccine, or the upcoming flu season?
The recommendation is for everyone 6 months and older to get vaccinated. But in that large population, there are groups we have a special interest in, those 65 and older,
Yep.
because they tend to get more severe disease. And anyone with an underlying chronic illness, diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, etc. And then one other group that we shouldn't fail to mention, and that's women who are pregnant right now
Okay.
as we get toward flu. It's very important that they get vaccinated because they get protected. Actually, it turns out if they get flu, they tend to have more severe disease. So we want to protect the moms. But there's a bonus. The protection the mom makes in her body, some of that crosses the placenta and gets into the newborn baby, which will provide some protection during that newborn baby's early several months. So by vaccinating the mom, you actually also help protect her newborn baby when it arrives. That's been well established. And one last time, it's safe. Everybody who studied this, giving the flu vaccine during pregnancy is safe. No worries about that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out to join me.
Thanks again to Dr. Schaffner for joining me on the Doc Talk podcast, and thanks to the listeners as well. For more information about the COVID-19 pandemic, please visit our special COVID-19 page on acplive.com. Thanks again. I'm Kenny Walter.